So in today's world of broken families, and what some counselors call father wounds, the psychological wounds left by abusive, absent, or negligent fathers, in today's world, this father-to-child relationship with God should offer some healing. And consider for a moment the awesome privilege to have the confidence to consider God as Abba, to address Him as Father. Now, I know that the modern person likes to consider all human beings as God's children and say something like, well, we are all God's children after all. But that's not exactly true. Just because He made us does not make us His children. We are all His creations, yes, but so are beetles, and bats, and monkeys. We human beings are unique, we are special, in that we are made in His image, however that's to be understood. But that still does not give us the right to consider Him as Father. The relationship between a father and his children is different. With a loving father, the child has confidence, approval, forgiveness, encouragement, protection, shelter, provision. All of the basic needs of human life and psychology are wrapped up in this single notion of relationship with God as a child to a father. Now, to be sure, long before the gospel was revealed, the nation of Israel already enjoyed this covenantal relationship with God, and Israel is called God's firstborn. But the gospel brings that covenantal reality from the national level to the individual, and reveals it as God's concern and relationship not just with an entire people, but with each individual in that nation who takes hold of the relationship. So the Gospel of John in John chapter 1 begins with this astounding truth. It says in John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, "But to all who did receive Him, who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So number one, we're offering personal relationship with God, to know Him as Abba, our Abba in heaven, our Father. And that is worth a great deal. That alone should be worth everything. How much would you pay for that? Number two, the second great thing that we have to offer with the gospel message is relationship with the Master, with Yeshua of Nazareth. What does that relationship look like? Well, first of all, it looks like discipleship, in which He becomes our model, our example of behavior, and, to put it in modern terms, you might say, our life coach, our spiritual leader, our guru. And people are looking for this, always looking for this, looking for ways to unravel the mess that they have made, seeking counsel, seeking advice, seeking direction in life decisions and relationship help with family, with friends, with marriage, with government, help with finances, priorities, etc., decisions that have to be made. And in the teachings and example of Yeshua, we have all of this and more. And that's discipleship. Radical, life-changing stuff. It's exciting. It's purposeful. And it makes life into an adventure. And the relationship that we are offering with Yeshua goes beyond just following His example and reading and studying His teachings, because through the miracle of His resurrection and His ascension and the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that was upon Him, the apostles teach that we have real spiritual relationship with the living Yeshua of Nazareth, the Son of God, on an ongoing and continual basis, so long as we place faith in Him and in His faithfulness. And through this spiritual connection, Paul was able to say, "Messiah lives in me." The Ruach of Messiah joins with the Neshama of the believer, offering an inner light, an inner spark of life, which is divine, the Christ within us. That's pretty mystical stuff, and I would think pretty valuable. It's spiritual regeneration. It's new life. It is the deposit of the Holy Spirit firing our souls and opening our being to a whole spiritual dimension of existence. It transforms our mundane physical lives into a spiritual existence that we have this supernatural life that we're living. And because of that, we experience the supernatural. We experience the supernatural on a regular basis, and we anticipate interaction with the supernatural world through the work of the Holy Spirit as we live in both the seen world and the unseen world simultaneously. We become multidimensional, interdimensional creatures, so to speak. That sounds to me pretty valuable. That sounds worthwhile, don't you think? So relationship with Yeshua by means of discipleship and spiritual connection through the anointing Holy Spirit, how much would you pay for that? These are the commodities we have to offer. Number three, the third great thing we're offering is a heritage in the people of God, a place at the table of Israel. Rootedness in an ancient people, in an ancient religion, a place at the table of Israel. In today's culture, people have a sense of unrootedness. It's not like it was in the old world where you knew who you were and where you belonged. Today, with today's emphasis on individualism and the modern cultural blending, people are attracted to authenticity and a sense of belonging. Interestingly, the same was true in the first century when the Roman Empire introduced this sort of homogenization of culture that resulted from imperial connection and the general Hellenization of the ancient world. And so people were attracted to Judaism, primarily because of its antiquity. I feel that this is something that we in the Messianic Jewish movement should be capitalizing on more. The Messianic Jewish experience should not feel like Yiddish-flavored charismatic of evangelicalism. We have an ancient, ancient tradition. Our roots go back further than the Jesus movement of the 1970s. We are the oldest expression of Christianity in the world. And through Judaism, we have continuity with the Jewish people all the way back to Moses, back to Abraham. And the amazing thing about the gospel is that it offers total outsiders, that is to say, Gentiles, a place on the inside. In Messiah, Gentile believers are grafted into this most ancient of people, this ancient religion, adopted into the family of Abraham. It's an asset, and we should capitalize on it, because, hey, everyone needs some place to belong. It's a basic human need, to feel like you are part of something bigger than yourself, to feel like you have a place at the table of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's awesome. Number four, not only do we offer a past, but we offer a future. And this is important, maybe the most important attractive thing we have to offer, a single word, hope. How much is that commodity worth? We have this to offer, hope from hopelessness, hope for a better life now, and life in the world to come. What is life without hope? Is it worth living?